Open your Bibles, please, at another passage. We've certainly been turning to a lot of passages this morning, but that's good to show that these commandments are not just in one place. Ephesians chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, and the 6th chapter, practical part of the book. The 6th chapter of Ephesians. So this is New Testament. And we read in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Let us look to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this commandment that is given for our good. It's given from a loving Heavenly Father who desires that each of us would know the full blessing of God upon our lives. Lord, we pray that we would receive the commandment with that knowledge. And Lord, we would rejoice in thy commandments, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This 5th commandment is clearly important. It is intensely practical, but yet it is widely neglected. It is clearly important because it is the first of the commandments of the second table, we call it, the first 4 to do with our duty vertically to God, the next 6 to do with our duty, yes, to God, but to other people as well, our duty in society towards others. So it is clearly important. It's repeated often in Scripture, the application and explanation of it. It is intensely practical, as we'll see this morning in some of the points we make. It's an intensely practical thing, not just for us when we're little children living in the home under parental control. And yet, it is widely neglected, not just by children in homes, but by adults. And it's not just restricted to home when they're young. Remember, we emphasize that each commandment, it covers a whole family of sins. In other words, when the words focus in on one particular thing, it's focus all. For instance, we'll come to the one in a few weeks, "I shalt not kill." The Pharisee said, "Oh, we've never murdered anybody." And the Lord said, "But you have hatred in your heart." See, the commandment not only covers the actual crime of murder, but what can lead up to it. And while it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," it's setting down the principle here of respect, of honour. And the point is this: if a child does not learn in the home to honour the parents, how will they ever learn to honour other authorities? You see, the Bible commands we're to honour the king. We're to honour all men. We're to be subject to those that are in authority. Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. What lack of respect there is for authority. The New Testament teaches that employees are to respect and honour their employers. "Oh, but you don't know the boss I have." "Ah, but do you know what 1 Peter goes on to say? Even to the froward." Even if you have a bad boss, even if it's a bad government, it doesn't mean that you have to surrender to every evil that's done against you. No, no, but we're to live with a respectful attitude to authority. In the home, it speaks in 1 Peter 3 about the believing wife married to an unbelieving husband, that still to show respect and honour. I'm saying that throughout all society, in the church, we're to honour them that are in leadership. We're to submit ourselves. You know that every minister and every elder, when we are ordained, we take a vow to be subject to our brethren. That's why we're a Presbyterian government, because even a minister, he's not on his own up there, as it were, with under authority. We're under the authority of all our brethren. Every Christian's under the authority in the church, in all our life, in the home, in society. So this principle of honour has to do with all of life. It's applied. Now, 2 questions this morning. Why should we obey this? Why we should honour? And of course, we're speaking especially of parents, but we're remembering it affects all of society. Why should we do it, and how will we have the ability to do it? Why should we do it? Well, Ephesians tells you here. Verse 2 calls it a commandment. a commandment. It's the first commandment with promise. Because God tells us to do it. It's part of God's holy law. It's a command, not a suggestion. It's not optional, it's an obligation. God requires it, therefore it's serious to disobey, and God will hold us accountable. Because it is required. But verse 1 says, because it's right. This is the right thing to do. It's right for children to obey their parents. Because God has placed them in authority over the child. We're thinking now of a little child in the home. God has given you parents to guide you. Now, of course, we're not saying every parent always does what is right. That's not what we're saying. Because we're sinners. And parents are not perfect. And children are not perfect. Let me say that again. Parents are not perfect. And I was thinking over this morning, I kept thinking of a song they would sing. I think it was the Scouts when I was young. There's supposed to be parents standing there singing, what's the matter with kids today? Why can't they be like we were? Perfect in every way. Well, that's not true. We weren't perfect when we were children. No perfect children, no perfect. But the principle is there. That it's right for young children to obey their parents. Because, as I've already pointed out, the child that doesn't learn obedience will have a very serious character flaw. And will not be able to obey in society. Just last week, I was driving up the road there, Mavilla Road, you know, up there, and two young fellows, I'm sure early 20s, they had the fast food containers, eating away just out of the corner of the eye, and they just go onto the cut grass. Why is that? That's a sign in society today that many a young person is growing up with no respect whatsoever for society, for other people. I'll just throw the polythene things here so somebody will pick it up. Do you know, it may surprise you, it's not like that in other countries. You go to South Korea, young people don't drop litter. The streets are clean. Years ago when they celebrated the World Cup and they got into the semi-final, 1 million young people met in the centre of Seoul. Do you know what they said when they left after standing for hours celebrating? They took the rubbish away with them. You see tomorrow in some of the places where there are demonstrations, the rubbish that's left, people, so many just don't care. It's a sign, that's just an outward sign, really, that it goes back. That we're living in a society today where many people have no respect at all for anything. For authority. For police, for law, for government, for their parents. No respect. But yet it's right. It's right to honour. Not only because it's required and it's right, it's rewarding. It says in verse 3 that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's the quality of life. Well, and the quantity of life. Now as a general rule, we know of course some die young. God's providence. But the rule is here that God will bless the person that keeps it. There's a personal blessing. Do you know under the Jewish law in Leviticus 20, if a young person cursed their father and mother and rebelled against them or hit them, they were to put to death under theocracy. Showing that God accounts this very, very importantly. And of course I believe that references also to the nation back in Deuteronomy. The nation will be blessed. Will not have those signs that I mentioned about the throwing of litter and so on. There will be respect for authority in society, so that nation will be blessed. But listen, God will bless you personally if you as a Christian obey your parents. George Washington, first president of the United States. He wanted to go to sea. He was all packed. His elderly mother pleaded with him not to go, and George said, I'll obey you. I'll stay. And his mother said to him, George, God will bless you for honouring your mother. Of course, he became the first president of the United States. Of course, many other things behind it, but he respected his mother. Now, that's why we should do it. It's required. It's right that children obey their parents. It'll be rewarding if they obey them. But here's the point. How do we do it? How can we keep it? Remember the context of the Ten Commandments we pointed out. They're not the means of salvation. God doesn't say, if you keep these, then you'll earn salvation. That's not what he says. The Ten Commandments were given to show that we fail. And we fail in this one as well. How do we keep them? Well, remember the context in Ephesians 6. We haven't looked at this book before in the context of the commandments. Remember here in Ephesians 6, what is Paul doing? He's writing to Christian children. Oh yes, the commandment of God's moral law is for everybody. But I'm saying here in Ephesians 6 specifically, it's to boys and girls in the congregation. And isn't it wonderful when Paul spoke, he didn't just speak to the adults, he spoke to the children. And these are saved boys and girls he's speaking to. Because in the first chapters, Paul has dealt with that we were all sinners. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were condemned. We were under the wrath of God. But God in mercy reached down, and by grace you're saved through faith. He said, you now have a new standing. You're saved. And what's the purpose of salvation? That you and I would be conformed to the image of Christ. Notice we're told, obey your parents in the Lord. You see, this is talking to saved children. Now, how can we do it? Well, we need that supplication. As believers, for all the commandments, we have to come and say, Lord, help me to be the child I ought to be. Help me to show honour to my father and mother as I ought, according to thy word. But then, the context of this chapter is back in chapter 5:18, where Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. And the fullness of the Spirit is not for just simply for public ministry or public witnessing or public work for the Lord. It's to do with every aspect of our life. And Paul is saying, if you're going to be the husband you ought to be, the wife you ought to be, the parent you ought to be, the child you ought to be, the employer you ought to be, the employee. That's what he deals with immediately after the fullness of the Spirit. The only way you and I can keep this commandment is by being saved, by supplicating for strength, by being filled with the Spirit, by getting into the Scripture. For the verse I'm quoting here in Ephesians 6, the same verse is over in Colossians 3, but there it's not so much the fullness of the Spirit. The emphasis is, be filled with the Scripture. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're getting into the Word of God to see, what does this commandment mean? I'm no longer a little child. What does it mean to me? Has this commandment no relevance? Well, as we get into Scripture, we'll see it does have relevance to all of us. So that's how we can keep these things. Remembering, of course, that there's Satan that's seeking to get us to disobey. Remembering that sin, and by nature, selfishness, can cause us to live for ourselves and not think of other people. You think of society, the emphasis today, and I go back to young people. Oh, the pressures and the temptations and the peer pressure we talked on some months ago under Joseph, the peer pressure. And young people today are facing a terrible pressure from the media, from their school friends, from society that maybe we didn't face when we were young. Well, in fact, we didn't face it to the same extent. And they're facing all that pressure to tell them to do what they want. But what Paul is saying in Ephesians 6 is, Christian child, you obey your parents in the Lord. You're not just obeying them, you're obeying God. And you're doing it for His sake. Employee, when you're obeying your employer, you're not just doing it for the employer, you're doing it unto the Lord. That's what the principle is here. Let me give you three ways on how we can keep this commandment. Number one is simply, when we're young, we ought to obey our parents. When we're young, we ought to obey our parents. That's what it tells us here. Obey your parents. Of course, that means with joy. That means without a sneer. Surely you know the story of the little toddler when the parents were teaching it to sit down. Kept getting out of the high chair, sit down, and finally it sat down. And the little girl was able to speak enough to say, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up inside. Well, that's not obedience. It's obeying with joy. The word actually obey means to come under the hearing or direction of another. Do you know what's used when the Lord created? He called things into being, and of course those things obeyed. It's used of a soldier carrying out orders. Children, obey the orders of your parents. And again, I keep going back to society. Someone in America wrote that what's wrong today in the schools is that the teachers are afraid of the principal. The principal's afraid of the school inspectors. And they're afraid of the parents. And the parents are afraid of the children. Everybody's afraid of the children. One visitor to America from another part said what amazed him after his visit to America was how well parents obey their children. He had never seen it in the society where he grew up. How well parents obey their children. Do you know, when you study Romans chapter 1, and God lists about God giving them up to a reprobate mind, and there's all kinds of heinous sins, murder, and other awful crimes. Do you know, right in the middle of that list, you read disobedient to parents. Do you know, over in 2 Timothy 3, Paul lists the perilous times at the end of this age. And he goes through a big long list of awful, terrible, terrible sins. And you know what's right in the middle of it in 2 Timothy 3? Disobedient to parents, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And God says, Christian, young person, if you're disobedient to your parents, any profession you make, it's only a form. It's only a fake. It's only a fraud. Of course, somebody says, well, what if mom and dad tell me to do something that's against God's word? Well, of course, we obey God. But that's very, very rarely ever happens. And even if it does, you can object in a respectful way. That goes for all of relationships in life. Respectful way. And it's telling us here that children are to obey parents. As David the psalmist said, now I am young. Sorry, once I was young, now I am old. Now some of you here this morning can't say that. Well, I'm middle-aged, so I'm not yet old. But David said, once I was young, but now I'm old. And older people have been down the road before you, young person. They've had more experience of life. And it's amazing. Do you know, the older you get, the smarter your parents get. Have you ever noticed that? Why, when you're teens, you think your parents know nothing. They're old-fashioned. They're not up to date. Then you get into your 20s and say, boy, mum and dad weren't so foolish after. And the older you get, the smarter your parents get. Well, actually, your perception gets. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now, who's our example? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the example. Because he kept the law perfectly. I'll read you this verse. Luke 2:51. Listen to this. It says, Christ went down with them, his mother and stepfather, and came to Nazareth. Listen. And was subject unto them. You think about that. That's Luke 2:51. You remember, 12 years old, he was in the temple. And he says he went back with his mother and stepfather. And he who created this world. He who spoke the word and the stars come into being. He who numbers the stars. He who holds this universe. For by him all things consist and have their being. He became man in order to redeem us. But he's still God. He's God and man. And when he's here upon earth living as the perfect man, he's still God. And yet in order to identify with us, in order to be, as it were, our elder brother, in order to keep the law perfectly that we could never keep, he lived as a son in the home. And although he's God and was omniscient and knew everything, yet the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the hymns says he is our childhood pattern, he was subject to Mary and Joseph. What an illustration of voluntarily submitting. That's the principle that's all through society, the subject of submission to authority. All through the... But then, you'll not always be a child. So number two, don't only obey your parents when they're young. Number two, listen, care for them when they're elderly. Care for them when they're elderly. Do you know, a couple of years ago, I was preaching through 1 Timothy. That passage I read to you about widows. And I remember reading at that time statistics. Do you know, in the United States of America, listen, 1 million elderly people over the age of 75 are abused by their children. Do you get that figure? 1 million are abused by their children. A couple of years ago in Armagh, the various ministers in the town and school teachers, principals, were invited to go to the local divisional commander as he gave the figures for the crime statistics in the greater Armagh police area. And most of the figures were just about the same. Some had dropped slightly, very slight up on some of them. But you know what he said to us, the superintendent? The greatest rise in the crime rate in the Armagh area is abuse of parents. I was absolutely shocked. What's going on today? Abuse of parents. And yet the Bible, we have a serious problem in our society today. Because many don't want to take the time to care for elderly. Too busy. But the Bible says that we're to do that as believers. And that's why the Lord was scathing in Mark 7 that we read, and it's repeated over in Matthew. He's scathing against these Pharisees. They're criticizing his disciples for not washing their hands in the proper way that they had in their religious ritual. And the Lord turned to them and said, "You're only a bunch of hypocrites. Does not the Ten Commandments say, honor your parents?" And here's what they were doing. They were leaving their elderly parents and not caring about them at all. And they said, "Oh no, you see, we've given all our money into the religious, to the temple. We've given it all to the temple. And we've no money over to care for our parents." That's exactly what that passage means. We've given it all to the worship of Jehovah. We've given it all to the support of the temple. And so with no time, no money to take care of our elderly parents. And Christ said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of hypocrites." Somebody said the religion that doesn't start at home doesn't start. The Lord was severe on them for what they did. And then when you turned over to 1 Timothy 5, did you notice that amazing passage? In verse 4, what does it say in 1 Timothy 5? An amazing verse. And this is to the church age. And it's speaking here about widows. 1 Timothy 5. We're to honour widows that are widows indeed. He describes that later, what that means. Those who are destitute, those that need care. But in verse 4, if any widow have children or nephews, and that includes grandchildren, that term, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. What Paul is saying, listen, church. And in those days, of course, there wasn't the society care of benefits and so on. And Paul is saying, look, when elderly widows are in the church, you're to take care of the widows in the congregation. But don't let the congregation give out of their income, gifts that have been given, if they have children or grandchildren who are believers. Believers, you have a responsibility to care for your own grandmother, your own father and mother. That's what it's saying here. You have a responsibility. It starts at home. You're to requite your parents. That's what it says. And look at verse 8. It couldn't be any stronger. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It doesn't say he's like an unbeliever. It says he's worse. And remember, he's writing to church members here. He's writing to people profess to be saved, profess to be Christians, profess to be followers of Christ. And Paul is saying, listen, if any of you are not caring for your own family, you've denied the faith. Your profession's not reality. Because true Christianity, it starts at home, caring for those nearest to you. That's the New Testament. Who's the greatest example of that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember as he came to die in John 19:27? He's hanging in agony on the cross. He's been scourged, lost blood, beaten. His hands and feet are nailed to that tree. The crowd are mocking him and taunting him. He's in physical agony, mental agony, emotional agony. And what does he do? Standing by the cross was his mother. And he speaks to his mother. And there in his dying agony, he speaks to the Apostle John. Because his brothers, stepbrothers, weren't believers yet. In Acts 1 they are. And what does he do? He tells John. Well, I'm paraphrasing. You can read it in John 19:27. He said, take care of my mother. As he was dying for our sins and suffering in agony on the cross, he stops to leave instructions for the care of his mother. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ honored his mother when he was a child, even as a teenager. He honored his mother even as he died. How do we keep this commandment? We obey our parents when we're young. We honor them by taking care of them when they're elderly. Number three, we respect them at all times. We respect them. That's what the word honor means. It means to take seriously. We're told in Leviticus 19, you're to fear your mother and father. Now, it doesn't mean simply, oh, I'm really afraid they'll harm me. No, no, it means you're to reverence. You're to respect them. I said, yes, but my parents aren't worthy of respect. They did this and they did that. Yes, of course, there's no perfect parents. But you're to respect the office. Respect the position. Remember what they've done for you. One preacher in America, some of you know him, Adrian Rogers, I remember hearing him say once that there's one thing when his children were young he wouldn't stand, and that was disrespect to the mother. He said, when my children were young, that wasn't tolerated. They had faults, they had failings, they had foibles, and we had to overlook some of the things with children. Of course they are, they're growing up, they make mistakes, we're not to be harsh. In fact, it was all in Ephesians 6 here, provoke not your children to wrath by that overbearing sense of authority that's not done with love. In the same passage. But he said, one thing I wouldn't stand for when the children were growing up was disrespect to their mother. If one of them talked roughly to the mother, say, just stop it a minute. Don't you dare talk to your mother like that. She went in to birth, went in to give you birth. She's cared for you. She's wept with you. She's looked after you when you're ill. She's given herself for you. Don't you talk to your mother like that, or you'll have her to deal with. And don't you talk to her like that, because she's my wife and you'll have me to deal with. And don't talk to your mother like that, for you'll have God to deal with. Never forgot what he said that day. He had the message right. We're to show honor at all times. I think of King Solomon in Scripture. Do you know, King Solomon, he of course was born in a relationship that wasn't right. The sin of David and Bathsheba, his mother, wasn't right. It was sin. But yet there's forgiveness with God, and Solomon was born from that union between David and Bathsheba. Solomon became king. And you know what it tells you when you study the Old Testament? It says he was sitting on his throne and Bathsheba came in. You know what he did? He stood up. He stood up to honor his mother. Do you remember Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt? And his aged father came in to the down to Egypt. What did Joseph do? He bowed. In fact, he put his face to the ground in front of his aged father, showing his father respect. How do you respect your parents? By living a life that will bring them pleasure. You know, there's lots of verses and time's going, I can't turn them for time, but you go through Proverbs. How a foolish son bringeth shame to his mother and to his father. The way to respect your parents is to know the Lord as Savior and live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You see, John the Apostle, speaking of spiritual children, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. That's how to show respect to your parents. Now, there's a long story told for a long time about a boy coming from school and his friends were wanting him to do something bad, to get into mischief. He said no, and they laughed at him, called him all the names, you're only a sissy, you're only this or whatever. Called him all his names, and one of them said, you're only afraid your dad will find out and he'll hurt you. He said, no, I'm afraid my father will find out and it'll hurt him. It'll hurt him. That's the respect we're talking about. That you don't want to bring shame to your parents. And so we have to respect them while we can in this life, remembering a little, maybe you know the poem, dead noses smell no roses. We should do it now and respect people and live honourably for him. And of course, forgive them if they haven't been all the parents that they ought to be. But 1 Timothy 5 doesn't only speak about the home, it speaks of the church. Paul wrote to the congregation, just like this, a congregation. He said, rebuke not an elder. Now, it's not actually the elder in the sense of the office of elder. It's not. Because he's going to speak about the older men, the younger women, the older women, the younger women. He's talking about elders in general. Elderly men. And he says, don't rebuke an elder. Now later on he is told in his preaching, when you're preaching, rebuke, but it's a different word in the Greek. What this word means here, don't speak harshly to this person. Timothy, you're a young pastor. Don't you allow young people in the congregation to treat elderly men in a fashion where you castigate them and speak to them roughly. Respect their age. That's what Paul's actually saying here. Respect their age. Then he talks about the elderly women in the congregation. So the young here in Newton Ours, what's it saying? Verse 2, the elder women you're to treat as mothers. Young men are to treat young ladies in the congregation like sisters. Care for them, look after them. So practical, the word of God. Didn't I say at the beginning, this commandment's intensely practical? Tells us how to behave in God's house. When you're a Christian in the church, he speaks here as a lovely one about mothers. You're to treat the elder women as mothers. Timothy was a fairly young man. And Paul writes to him and says, look, there are mothers in the congregation. Timothy was away from home, of course. He had a mother and grandmother who was saved. But he's saying, look, Timothy, the elderly ladies in the congregation, treat them as you would your mother. Do you know Paul in the book of Romans 16 talks and he sends greetings to Rufus and your mother, who was also a mother to me. Paul said, your mother was just like a mother to me. My wife and I lived overseas out of Northern Ireland for 10 years. Now the first section of that, first 4.5 years in America, training. And some Christmases there's people brought us home and were like mothers and fathers to us in our early 20s. Show that love. But it's saying here, Christian, we're to show respect. We're to show respect. So it's to do with the church. We're to honour each other in the church. But then there's one last thought. I was thinking about this, and it's this. I'm not preaching this sermon as an idea of children, you obey your parents or else, getting at them. No, if you're a child here this morning, that's not what we're doing. We're saying, oh, obey your parents with God's help and seek him because you'll know blessing in your life. And our hearts go out to the young of this age, especially the teenagers, because they're faced with so much, the in crowd. And so many today are taught, forget about the older people, we're young, we know what life's about, we'll make our own way in life. And you know, it's so nonsensical. and they'll reject the way of life of their parents. And they think they're free. And they're not. Because think about it logically for a moment. The so-called youth culture of today, be it a fad in clothes or music or whatever, it's not by young people at all. It's by adult manipulators behind it. Some modern music, not saying at all, of course all modern music's not like this, but some extreme modern music is teaching rebellion, is teaching reject your parents, reject the Bible, reject all this. Is that young people writing it and making it up? No, it's older people. And every record that's sold, there's some adult making money. Some young people in some areas, oh, you will be smart, we'll smoke, we'll do. I know they're saving, I'm just using these as examples this morning. Who's behind the cigarette making? Who's making money out of it? Or the alcohol? Oh, we'll not follow. We'll just be, we'll go our own way. We'll be. Who's producing the alcohol? Adults. See, it's not a matter of whether you'll obey or honour or not. It's who you'll honour and who you'll obey. And how sad it is when you see young people, and sadly at this time of year of celebrations, and they're out, you'll see them maybe drinking, plastic bags, underage, and they think they're free. If you talk to some of them, what about your parents? Oh, I don't listen to that. I'd love to be able to say to all of them, who are you listening to? Some adult making money out of you? Think of drugs. I want to be free. I'll look at the man making money. Exploiting them. You see, we all obey somebody. We either obey Satan and sin or the Lord. And this morning this commandment begins by whose voice you're listening to. And the most important thing to ask, are we listening to God's voice? Honoring your parents begins with honoring God. And the greatest thing we can do to keep this commandment is to come, and as we sang earlier, submit to the Lord. To be able to say, His divine will is sweet to me. Because ultimately, even your eternal destiny is hinged upon this. Who do you honour? Who do you listen to? To whom do you submit? To the one who went all the way to Calvary because he loves you so much. Who suffered there on the cross such agony, shed his blood to redeem sinners. He's shown his love. Can you not this morning say, King of my life, I cry in thee now. Lord, today I want to acknowledge you as Lord of my life. Save me. Work in my heart. That's where this starts. There is an eternity. This life isn't all there is. Happy is that family that can say on eternity's shore, the circle's not unbroken. The circle's not unbroken. But all the family are in. All the family are in. See, this commandment of honoring our father and mother deals with the whole family. And it reminds us that we want to see our families saved by the grace of God. Let's turn singing hymn in closing, please.